We're going to talk about an interesting subject for this gathering. I don't know if we've ever had a gathering centered on the molecular relationship before. But, you know, people read the Bible and they read about all the miracles that Jesus did. And then, after he organized the 12 apostles, they also had the power to do miracles. And they went out and did the same thing. And where did this power come from? What was it that made it manifest? And what made it manifest was that Jesus was a molecular scientist. He understood that people are like atoms. And atoms unite together and they create molecules with properties that are totally different than they are alone. And this is what he realized with human beings. He could organize them in such a way so that they would make a bonding relationship, and all of a sudden they wouldn't just be regular people. They would be people with qualities that was different than regular humans have. Just like two atoms of hydrogen combined with one atom of oxygen produces water. Totally different properties than they are alone. You realize that hydrogen and oxygen separated produced the rocket fuel that sent the men to the moon. Now they have liquid hydrogen and liquid oxygen, and they blend them together and ignite them, and they just are very explosive, and that was the rocket fuel that sent our men to the moon. And so we're going to examine exactly what this molecular relationship is and where it came from. What we want to do is go back to the beginning of creation. To the beginning of creation, everything in creation started with two things. Actually, three things, but two opposing things. And it's actually in the first sentence of the Bible. First sentence of the Bible, does anyone know what that says? Yeah, in English, please. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but in the beginning, God. That is the interesting thing. In the beginning, the word beginning comes from the Hebrew rosh, which means head. And Joseph Smith gave an interesting slant on that. He says it really should read, in the beginning, the head God gathered the other gods together, is kind of the way he interpreted it. But looking at the word Elohim is kind of interesting. The word Elohim is divided into two parts. The first part is El, which is a strong masculine word that means strong or powerful. And the word El is often translated as God as well as Elohim. El usually refers to a singular God, whereas Elohim refers to a plural God. Now the second part of the word, scholars have different opinions as to where the root is, but the most interesting idea was it came from the same source as the word for Allah, which means covenant. So putting the word God together, Elohim, which is translated God, and another thing about it, it is also plural, which is evidence where we read a few verses later, it says, it talks about God being an us. Let us do this. Let us create. Okay, so it's called us because Elohim is plural, but the weird thing about it, it's used with a singular verb. So what kind of plurality is used with a singular verb? It's a word like company or group. You know, a word like that signifies many, but is used with a singular verb. Now, let's get back to the word itself. Elohim, meaning strong covenants. And the first part of the word signifies strong male. The second part signifies strong female. So putting that together, the word God means male and female united by a strong covenant. Okay? So male and female energies united by strong covenants and bonds created the heavens and the earth. That's pretty interesting when you think about it. What are the strong male and female energies? Okay? Everything began with one thing. Anyone that's read the molecular relationship know what that is? What did everything begin with? Okay? Scientists look through their instruments and they get smaller and smaller, and they use their atomic accelerators, and they go smaller and smaller to find out what's in the atom and in the protons and neutrons, and they can't find anything solid. All they can find is one thing. And I've never heard a scientist admit that they can only find this one thing. But it's really obvious that there's just one thing to be found. Okay, I'm going to draw it on this board right here. Scripture says, in the beginning was the Word. And what does it take to create a word? Sound. And what does it take to create sound? Vibration. And what is vibration made of? It's made of wavelengths. Okay? There's just one thing that everything is made of, including light. Is light any different than sound? What's the difference between light and sound? Right, there's just light has a lot faster wavelength, a lot faster, but it's still composed of just wavelengths. And when they look into matter, they basically what they find is really concretized light. So everything is really made of light, and light is made of sound, a fast vibrating sound, and sound is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And God means male and female energies united by a strong covenant. Okay. Make sure I get the right place here. Okay, the top of the wavelength is, we could say, plus and minus, light, love, male, female. Okay? Just these two things. Now, there's a third thing. What is the third thing? The third thing is a crossover point. The crossover point existed before the wavelength existed. Okay? So you have the crossover point, and the crossover point represents the energy of purpose. Now, the other thing that you have is representative of the Trinity. The originating energy called purpose represents the Father. Then the Son. And then the Holy Ghost. So you have this Trinity represented everywhere. And everything is created that we see in this universe is created from the illusion that is produced by this wavelength. By this one wavelength has created everything there is. You look inside your body and you're all empty space except for a handful of wavelengths vibrating here and there. And it's amazing how much of us, the universe is just like empty space. You go down into the atom. Well, to the cellular level, there's about, 20 trillion cells in your body. It's an amazing number of cells. And then the number of atoms that make up a single cell is in the trillions also. It's just amazing the fantastic numbers. So each cell is almost like a universe to itself. It has all kinds of machinery and telecommunications systems set up that they, one part can communicate with another part, just like a city run by us. And then we got down to the little tiny atoms, and the mass of the proton, if it was reduced to a ball, now they say, depending on how you look at it, the electron is either a wavelength only or something of solid substance. Depends on the quantum mechanics of it. But anyway, if the electron were like a size of a little marble, the nucleus would be many times larger, except it would be maybe a baseball a couple miles away. That's how the empty space in the atoms is just fantastic. And then you go inside the proton, they don't even know everything that's inside the proton. They know there's three quarks in there for sure, but they can't find the rest of the matter that's in there because there's a lot more in there mass-wise than what they've been able to find. So they haven't been able to find everything that's in there yet.